Well, what an hour to be alive. It's the best and the worst, but the best is far greater than the worst. Hallelujah. Last Saturday, I was out here at this little Pepper Ranch Preserve, and it's a reserve that you can ride through it. The public can go there, and you check in, and it's down there past Sister Barbara's house. And you have to have a code to get in the gate. And once you're in there, it's just miles of beautiful pastures and oak trees and farmland, and you'll see a lot of animals and wildlife. And I love to ride through there, and from time to time take my grandkids. And that's where I'm teaching the older ones to drive. So they get to, so Joe now is, he's 12. So Joe, last year, I would work the gas and the brake because I didn't trust him. And I would sit right next to him and he'd steer. Now he's advanced after a few times. And so he gets to, I'm sitting pretty close, but he's working all three, gas, brake, steering wheel. He's doing good. And it won't be long. I'll be able to just sit on the other side and chew my fingernails maybe. No, he's doing good. What's that leading up to? Well, riding through there and just playing some old songs, clean, good old country songs that on a certain station. I was thinking about all of everything, my life growing up and the simplicity of it. Now, most of you won't relate, but some of you will. But whatever your bright spot was, it's totally different today. And I thought, I get to do this with my grandkids. And maybe there's a few spots on earth where people still get to do this. But a life like I had in simplicity and getting to be out in the woods and being able to see, a lot of you have, you don't have certain memories. I understand that. I don't want to prey on your hard times as a child, but mine was different. I had about 5,000 acres that I was free to roam on. My dad got me an old Willys Jeep and with big old 916 tires, and when I was just big enough to reach the steering wheel and drive, that turned me loose. And I never wrecked, never had a hard time. People don't even, they don't even believe it. 12, 13 years old, you'd have a 22 and a little hunting dog, and we never got shot. We never shot anybody. We were taught right. But that was the simplicity of times. But I can tell you this, and I loved those things, and I was remembering that. But I realized the world that my grandson and my grandkids are growing up is an absolute, total different world. And it'll never be. I mean, you'll find spots and moments like that. But it'll never, ever be like it was then. It's totally changed. You can't reverse it. You can't go back. You can't remake it. You can't cause it to be any different than where it's headed. It's going to be a chaotic world from here on out. But here's the flip side. Here's the most wonderful. I wouldn't trade. I wouldn't go back into the 40s, the 50s, the simple of life, and when America was at its. I wouldn't trade that for now for nothing. Because we stand on the precipice of the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit. And it was prophesied from the beginning that not only would the great outpouring come, but it would be accompanied with great chaos and great persecution would come, and things that would come that simultaneously would mark but it would be the best and the worst. But great joy would come on the church. Peter said, when all persecution comes on you, the Spirit of glory and of God will rest upon you. I would not trade. I wouldn't take my grandkids back to that simpler time, because we've got to go through this time for this great outpouring to take place. Glory be to God. And we're going to stand. Boy, you're going to be glad. You're going to be, as Pastor Dave used to say, you're going to be happy campers that you went to a church like this. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Getting direction. That's all. Hallelujah. Well, we've listened to this particular prophecy before in the past, but it bleeds into another prophecy that I want to read to you, a vision, actually. But I want you to listen to Dad Hagen, Kenneth Hagen, which I believe, I trust him as much as I would say I trusted Pastor Dave Roberson, a man of God, and his prophecies and the things that he said. Dave trusted him. And so I want you to listen. You've heard this before. We're going to play it again. It's a prophecy from 1963, I believe. We're going to then back up and read a prophecy from 1961 by someone else that you're not quite familiar with. It's actually a vision that took place. And then we're going to also look at the prophecy that came here Sunday, three-paragraph prophecy, very simple. But we're going to review some prophecies tonight and talk about those. Listen to the first one, and I can tell you that this is where we're at and what we're about to head into. And again, to use the word about is not even, at this point in time, not exactly right. We're already in, starting into all of this. So please listen to this. Give it a good listen. Thank you.
The air and stood with him, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the air. And as I looked down upon the ground, I could see as a map laid out before me the entire nation, all of the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, "Behold, son, and I shall show you that which shall come to pass. And that which the eyes of many shall see, and they shall remember that their ears heard, that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean, from the east, even the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand, and as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud. And it filled the whole atmosphere. And yea, it swept in them like a star from sea." And I said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, what's the meaning of this?" And he spake unto me and said, "Son, that is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation. Even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and ye shall never have more liberty than you have now, but liberties that you've known, as you have seen them seized, shall be seized and shall be taken from you." And I looked again, and I could see upon the mount a blot, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled, and it spread out over several states in the south and east. And then I looked and I could see splotched all over the mouth. And I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen heretofore. Yea, it is not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse. They walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, oh Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And then I said, oh Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except the darkness, the blackness, war, destruction, evil? And then he said, son of man, forget not your text, for you look at the thing not seen. And so then I looked into the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon that mouth a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire and fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up. And it seemed as though their hands were fire. And they sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. When I first saw it, I thought their whole head was a head of fire like their hands. But it was a tongue of fire. Tongues of fire leaping. And I said, what meaneth this? And he said, before the worst shall come, and the day of darkness shall come, there shall those who will go, who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at hand, and the beginning is now. And ye shall see, and ye shall know, for the hand of the Lord's upon you, and many others, to be used in these last days, and the work shall progress. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I said to him, O Lord, thank you that I may have a small place to work. And he said, I will cause thy tent to be enlarged. Yea, thou shalt have an enlarged ministry, and shall minister to many where you ministered to a few. Therefore, go ye back to the earth, and be thy faithful, and give forth that which I tell thee to give, for ye have been reluctant in days gone by to tell it. Now tell it boldly, and speak it truth, for now is the day that it shall be so. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, 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 yes. For the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. For even in the days of old, under the old covenant, the prophet would see by vision and prophesy. And so the prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. And this is the time, this is the hour, this is the place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. What I spoke of, I saw this very night. I saw the vision. I was lifted up to that place. Oh, men and women, thank God for his goodness. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, there are things coming. The prize for us is the outpouring. And that's where we live. That's where we live. We live in Him. And there's something that has been prophesied from the beginning through His Word and continual prophecies like this. We see these things even more prevalent today. Communist-inspired racial violence. That's one of the things that we're seeing. The things our children are seeing. What excites me is this ball of fire that he said he saw coming to the planet. And what's going to happen in the midst of it is there's going to rise up a bunch of people like you and I and those that are watching. It's going to be mightily, mightily used of God. Only revival can hold off the downfall of this nation. Not the 24 election. That'll only maybe pacify it. In a certain sense of itself, without the outpouring, it has no chance. And I don't want to get political tonight because this is all about revival. This is all about the outpouring. But God has a plan to help save our nation, and it's bigger than our nation. It's the world. Hallelujah. It's the world. It's the world. The nation can't be saved through politicians. It's too far. It can be helped, but it's too far. It's too much. It's too much going on. There's too much water under the bridge. Too much. Only revival, only men's hearts being changed. Thank you, Jesus. America is the prize. The communist-inspired atheistic doctrine, Marxism, that's a spirit. It's taking over the world in a certain sense. It's moved in to Central America, the American nations, South America. Brazil just had their 22 election, and same results as our 20 election. You know, I minister to those people on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, and I don't discuss politics, but I can tell just by some very brief questions, very dissatisfied with the leftist direction that their country went. And you find this rising up. And I mean, America still, it's still the most godly. It is the evangelistic nation of the world. And the prize, when people hate America, it bothers me. I know they're not walking where they're hearing God, because God raised this nation up. He still wants to save it as long as He can. They've poured without Him, without revival, thousands and thousands of embedded people have come across our border in the last 2 years. The communist, for a long time, they had a hard time trying to figure out the espionage of getting their embedded people in here. Boy, it's been simple in the last 2 years. They just bring them up hundreds of miles and bring them across the border. Their name may be Jose, but they can speak perfect Chinese or perfect Arabic or perfect Russian. And they've come in to destroy. But revival, absolute revival, can still hold this nation. But here's the thing. Here's the hope. You and I are called as Esther to such a time as this. We're called to this outpouring. America still, I'm not a chess player. I just understand that the end game on chess is to capture the king, checkmate. America still the king. Satan still the great fall of the world. He thinks moving his Antichrist into a position is to take out America. I want to read this also. End Time Vision. This was sent to me by our dear friend Gary Carpenter this past week. And this is a long vision, but I really believe the Lord wants me to read this to you. And we'll take our time so you can hear it. We'll probably be out of here by our normal 8:30 time, because I appreciate all of you that drive from distances. We love you guys watching. Aren't you glad you're part of this end time outpouring? Hallelujah. People are coming. I'm telling you, people are coming. They are coming. They're coming to be a part of this. If you didn't hear Sunday's message, please hear it. This vision took place by a minister by the name of Tommy Hicks. Now, I'd probably heard of him before in the past, but as I've read about him in the last week, I've come to all the more appreciate. I don't have this in front of me as far as the facts, but I can tell you that he was a major figure in the powerful 1954 Argentina revival. And I don't have any of those facts in front of me, but in 1954 there was a major revival in Argentina, and he actually went there, and God put him there, and he was requesting audience in front of the president of Argentina, and he did. And while he was talking to him, God used him to heal him of a skin disease. And when God healed him, the president gave him the largest coliseum in the nation of Argentina, and for 3 months he had a crusade there where over 3 million people came and visited, and 300,000 were converted in Tommy Hicks's revival. Now, that was in 1954, but in 1961 he had this stunning vision. And so from everything I know about this man, this is not a fly-by-night. This is not one of those guys who, you know, goes to heaven every 10 minutes. But he had a vision, and I believe it's so close to what we just listened to from Pastor Kenneth Hagin, or Brother Kenneth Hagin, that we also need to listen to this as well. And then we're going to finish up with reading the prophecy, and we're going to pass that out here in just a little bit. This was a prophecy, as I said, delivered by Tommy Hicks on July 25th of 1961. Give it a listen. I'll try to look up from time to time because it's a long one. The following is a stunning vision given by an American preacher, Tommy Hicks, who was a major figure in the powerful 1954 Argentina revival. Many of you that have already read this. The vision of the body of Christ and the end time ministries. And this is Tommy beginning to speak. My message begins July 25th, about 2:30 in the morning in Winnipeg, Canada. That was July 25th, 1961. I had hardly fallen asleep when the vision and the revelation that God gave me came before me. The vision came 3 times, exactly in detail. The morning of July 25, 1961, I was so stirred and so moved by the revelation that this has changed my complete outlook upon the body of Christ and upon the end time ministries. The greatest thing that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever been given lies straight ahead. Glory to God. How are you glad you're living in such a time as this? It is so hard to help men and women to realize and understand the thing that God is trying to give his people in the end times. I received a letter several weeks ago from one of our native evangelists down in Africa, down in Nairobi. This man and his wife were on their way to Tanganyika, and they could neither read nor could they write, but we had been supporting them for over 2 years, and as they entered into the terror of Tanganyika, they came across a small village. The entire village was evacuating because of a plague that had hit the village. He came across natives that were weeping, and he asked them what was wrong. They told him of their mother and father who had suddenly died, and they had been dead for 3 days. They had to leave. They were afraid to go in. They were leaving them in the cottage. He turned and asked them where they were. They pointed to the hut, and he asked them to go with him, but they refused. They were afraid to go. The native and his wife went to the little cottage and entered in where the man and woman had been dead for 3 days. He simply stretched forth his hand in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and spoke the man's name and the woman's name, and said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command life to come back into your bodies." And instantaneously, these two heathen people who had never known Jesus Christ as their Savior sat up and immediately began to praise God. The Spirit and the power of God came into the lives of those people. To us, that may seem strange and a phenomena, but that is the beginning of these end time ministries. God is going to take the do-nothings, the nobodies, the unheard-ofs, and the no-accounts. He is going to take every man and every woman, and he is going to give them this outpouring of the Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, my thumb got bigger than my... I'm reading from my phone. I brought the actual paper, but it was so much smaller. I just got to watch where I... In the book of Acts, we read that in the last days, God said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." I wonder if we realized what he meant when God said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." I do not think I fully realize, nor could I understand the fullness of it. Then I read from the book of Joel, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain." That's Joel 2:23. It is not only going to be the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, but he is going to give to his people in these last days a double portion of the power of God. And we've got prophecies. We've got the prophecies God has spoken through this house and many others that this end-time revival is going to supersede the book of Acts. It's going to be stronger. It's going to be more powerful than anything the world has ever seen. As the vision, now here starts the vision, as the vision appeared to me after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself in a great high distance where I was. I do not know, but I was looking down upon the earth. Suddenly, the whole earth came into my view. This is very much like Kenneth Hagin's. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue came before my sight from the east and the west, the north and the south. I recognized every country and many cities that I had been in, and I was almost in fear and trembling as I beheld the great sight before me. And at that moment when the world came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. As the lightning flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downward, and I was facing the north. Suddenly, I began to look what looked at like a great giant, and as I stared at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great. His feet seemed to reach to the north pole and his head to the south. His arms were stretched from sea to sea. I could not even begin to understand whether this was a mountain or this be a great giant or a giant. But as I watched, I suddenly beheld a great giant. I could see his head was struggling for life, and he wanted to live, but his body was covered with debris from head to foot. And at times, this great giant would move his body and act as though he would even rise at times. And when he did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away. Hideous creatures would run away from this giant. And when he would become calm, they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hand toward heaven. Then it lifted its other hand. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and go into the darkness of the night. Slowly, this great giant began to rise. And as he did, his hands and his head, his head and his hands went into the clouds. As he rose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and the filth that was upon him. And he began to raise his hands to the heavens as though praising the Lord. And as he praised, or as he raised his hands, they went even into the clouds. Suddenly, every cloud became silver, the most beautiful silver I've ever known. As I watched this phenomenon, it was so great, I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so tired as I watched it, and I cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, what is the meaning of this? And I felt as if I was actually in the Spirit. I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I slept. And from those clouds, suddenly there came a great drop of liquid light raining upon this mighty giant. And slowly, slowly, the giant began to melt, beginning to sink itself into the very earth itself. And as he melted, the whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth, and this great rain began to come down. Liquid drops of light began to flood the very earth itself. And as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth. As I beheld the sight before people began to, people stood up all over the world. They were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. At that moment there came a great thunder that seemed to roar from the heavens. I turned my eyes towards the heavens and suddenly I saw a figure of white and glistening white, the most glorious thing that I have ever seen in my life. I did not see the face, but somehow I knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stretched forth his hands, and as he did, he would stretch it forth to one and to another and to another. And as he stretched forth his hands upon the nations and the people of the world, men and women, as he pointed towards them, this liquid light seemed to flow from his hands into them as a mighty anointing of God came upon them. And those people began to go forth in the name of the Lord. I do not know how long I watched. It seemed it went on for days and weeks and months. And I beheld this Christ as he continued to stretch forth his hand. But there was a tragedy. There were many people as he stretched forth his hands that refused the anointing. They refused the anointing of God and the call of God. I saw men and women that I knew, people that I felt would certainly receive the call of God. But as they stretched forth his hands towards this one and towards that one, they simply bowed their heads and began to back away. As each of those that seemed to back down and back away seemed to go into the darkness, blackness seemed to swallow them, each one. I was bewildered as I watched, but these people that he had anointed, hundreds of thousands of them all over the world, in Africa, England, Russia, China, America, all over the world, the anointing of God was upon these people as they went forward in the name of the Lord. I saw these men and these women as they went forth. They were ditch diggers. They were washerwomen. They were rich men. They were poor men. I saw people who were bound with paralysis and sickness and blindness and deafness. As the Lord stretched forth it to give them his anointing, they became well and they became healed and they went forth. And this is the miracle of it. This is the glorious miracle of it. Those people would stretch forth their hands exactly as the Lord did. And it seemed as if there was the same liquid fire in their hands. As they stretched forth their hands, they said, according to my word, be thou made whole. And as these people continued in the end time ministry, I did not fully realize what it was. I looked to the Lord and said, what is the meaning of this? And he said, this is that which I will do in the last days. I will restore all of the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar. Will restore all that they have destroyed. This is my people, and the end times will go forth. In the end times will go forth. As a mighty army shall they sweep over the face of the earth. As I was in a great height, I could behold the whole world. I watched these people as they were going to and fro over the face of the earth. Suddenly, there was a man in Africa, And in a moment, he was transported in the Spirit of God. And perhaps he was in Russia or China or America or some other place or vice versa. All over the world, these people went. They came through fire and through pestilence, through famine. Neither fire nor persecution could seem to stop them. If you read the journals of John G. Lake when he was in Africa, he was a very sober man. He was not one of these ones that I would call a sensationalist. But I have read some of his journals, and at times the Lord would, at least one time in particular, the Lord transported him. And he found himself in another country, much like Philip, and some things that the Lord had him do there. Now, in the last days, if this is the going to be like the book of Acts, there are going to be these things taking place. I think Gary calls it Trinity Airlines. In other words, you're here one moment, and then you're someplace else the next. Now listen, this is a Bible-based doctrine church. And we go with the Word of God on everything. But I'm telling you, we're entering into some supernatural moments in our future like we've never seen before. There's some things going to take place, and people are going to see things and hear things and be transported, all for the glory of God. Angry mobs, he said, angry mobs came to them with swords and with guns. And like Jesus, they passed through the multitudes, and they could not find them. But they went forth in the name of the Lord, and everywhere they stretched forth their hands, the sick were healed, the blind eyes were opened. There was not a long prayer, and after I had reviewed the vision many times in my mind, I thought about it many times. I relished that I never saw a church, I never saw a denomination, but these people were going in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. As they marched forth in everything they did as the ministry of Christ in the end times, these people were ministering to the multitudes over the face of the earth. Tens of thousands, even millions, seemed to come to the Lord Jesus as these people stood forth and gave the message of the kingdom, of the coming kingdom. In this last hour, it was so glorious. It seemed as though there were those that rebelled, and they would become angry, and they tried to attack those working that were giving the message. God is going to give the world a demonstration in this last hour as the world has never known, he said. These men and women are all walks of life. Degrees mean nothing. I saw these workers as they were going over the face of the earth. When one would stumble and fall, another would come and pick him up, and there was no big eyes or little you. But every mountain was brought low and every valley was exalted. They seemed to have one thing in common. There was a divine love that seemed to flow forth from these people as they worked together and as they lived together. It was the most glorious sight that I have ever known. Jesus Christ was the theme of their life. They continued, and it seemed the days went by as I stood and behold this sight. I could only cry and sometimes laugh. It was so wonderful as these people went throughout the face of the earth, bringing forth in this last end time. You know, we receive communion Sunday with a little different twist. I talked about what communion meant. We usually talk about the spirituality of it, and that this portion was very spiritual, but communion historically and what Jesus instituted was not only commitment to what he had done, but a commitment to each other. They were to stand side by side and support each other in life and in death. And that's what God is calling us to, is a union together to go forth, give our lives not only to Christ, but for one another. As I watched from the heaven, the very heaven itself, there were times when great deluges of this liquid light seemed to fall upon great congregations, and that congregation would lift up their hands and seemingly praise God for hours, even days, as the Spirit of God came upon them. God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And that is exactly this thing. And to every man and every woman that received this power and the anointing of God, the miraculous, the miracles of God, there was no ending of it. No ending of it. Glory to God. We have talked about miracles and we have talked about signs, but I could not help but weep as I read again this morning at 4 o'clock this morning the letter from the native worker. This is the only evidence of the beginning of one man's a do-nothing, an unheard of, who would go and stretch forth his hands and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command that life to flow into your bodies. I dropped to my knees and began to pray again. And I said, Lord, I know that this time is coming soon. And then again, as these people were going about the face of the earth, a great persecution seemed to come from every angle. Suddenly, there was another great clap of thunder that seemed to resound around the world, and I heard again the voice, and the voice that seemed to speak, now this is my people, this is my beloved bride. And when this voice spoke, I looked upon the earth, and I could see the lakes of the mountains. The graves were open, and the people from all the world and all the saints and all the ages seemed to be rising. And as they rose from the graves, suddenly all the people came from every direction, from the east and from the west and from the north and the south. They seemed to be forming again, this gigantic body. As the dead in Christ seemed to be rising, I could hardly comprehend it. It was so marvelous. It was so far beyond anything I could ever dream or think. But as this body suddenly began to form and take shape, it took shape again in the form of a mighty giant. But this time it was different. It was arrayed in the most beautiful, gorgeous white. Its garments were without spot and wrinkle. As its body began to form, and the people of all ages seemed to gather into this body. And slowly, slowly, as it began to form upon the very heavens, suddenly from the heavens above, the Lord came and became the head. And I heard another clap of thunder and said, this is my beloved bride for whom I have waited. She will come forth, even tried by fire. This is she that I have loved from the beginning of time. As I watched, my eyes suddenly turned to the far north. I saw seemingly destruction, men and women in anguish and crying out, and buildings of destruction. Then I heard again the fourth voice and said, now is my wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth. From the ends of the whole world, the wrath of God seemed to be poured out. And it seemed that there was a great, great vials of God's wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth. I can remember it as though it had happened a moment ago. I shook and trembled as I beheld the awful sights of seeing the cities and whole nations going down in destruction. One thing, and we're getting close to being done here, but one thing that there's a promise, an absolute, there's a, it's a paradox in some ways. It's both, but our glory that we rest in is knowing that what we've been called to do, the anointing that's going to rest upon us. But in Kenneth Hagin's prophecy or in this prophecy, there's no escaping end time persecution. Do you understand that? In other words, there is going to come along with this great outpouring, the earth, I don't know how it all comes down, but in this one as well as Kenneth Hagin's, yes, the liquid fire comes, and yes, the glory comes. I'm just glad I go to a church like this. I'm glad I go to some place where you and I are getting tough. We're going to be used by God, and we're not going to be afraid of anything. Hallelujah. And our lives, as long as we're in the use of the kingdom, and God's got a plan for us, we're going to be just like Jesus until his time was, until it was over. They couldn't touch him. They could not harm him. Hallelujah. I'm glad I go to this church. Hallelujah. We'll finish up. I could hear the weeping and wailing. I could hear people crying. They seemed to cry as they went into the caves. But the caves, now this is word. But the cave, this is in Revelation. But the caves in the mountains opened up, and they leaped into the water, but the water would not drown them. There was nothing that could destroy them, and they were wanting to take their lives, but they could not. Then again I turned my eyes to this glorious sight, this body arrayed in beautiful white, shining garments. Slowly, slowly, it began to lift from the earth. And as it did, I awoke. What a sight I had beheld. I had seen the End Time Ministries, The Last Hour, again on July 27th at 2:30 in the morning. The same revelation, the same vision came again exactly as it did before. My life has been changed, he says, and he goes into talking about that. We're at the 8:30 hour, how my time flies. We'll read this prophecy again from Sunday at another time because I want to keep, we're going to keep on schedule here, and I believe that's proper. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? Do you understand we're going into revival? We're getting prepared for it. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you. Let's all stand. If you have something to give tonight, there'll be an offering basket back at the door. All of you that are watching, get ready for Sunday. There's a great anointing coming. I'm telling you, some powerful things are going to happen. We love you so much, and we look forward to being in the next service with you. God bless all those here tonight. We thank you for this end time prophecies that are coming to pass, even in our day and hour. And we're going to be part of it, used by you, Father, in a glorious way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you have something to give tonight, drop it off as you go out. We love you. Thank you for watching. God bless you.